desert, and it flowed out throughout the desert, and gardens began to grow, and flowers popped up, and trees popped up, and it was a beautiful garden full of colorful flowers. And I felt like the Lord was saying, this is from me, and it's a testimony to others of my love and goodness in your life. And others will drink from that water and from those streams. And living, it is living water, and life will flow through those streams.
Do you receive that today, church? Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and just pray into that, and then we're going to sing that bridge again. You are perfect in all your ways. So, Lord, we thank you, God, that you are doing a new thing. And it says in your word, before we even know it, you tell us, Lord, that things spring forth. And, God, we claim that promise today that was spoken, living waters in desert, Lord God, living waters that will reach others, Lord God, that people will see your might at work, Lord God, in our lives, and they will pay attention. Lord, if a person's ever been in a desert and they see water, it draws attention. And so, God, we pray that through us your living waters would flow, Lord, and it would capture the attention of others. Lord, that people would ask questions, that people would long to know you because of the testimony of you in our lives. Lord, we pray this in your precious and holy name. Amen. Well, would you sing that with me again? You're perfect. Oh, sorry.
This is so freaky, like, because I every so often have a vision. And I had a vision of desert and water breaking like a little while ago. And just that someone else had one at the same time. And I could feel spirit in the room. And I was like, that's just so amazing.
It is. It's very cool how the Holy Spirit will knit things together. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just go ahead and remain standing as Pastor Ed comes.
Perfect in all your ways, Heavenly Father. You're perfect in all things. You're a good, good Father. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. And I'm loved by you. That's who I am. That's who I am. That's who I am. You may not have had a great father on this earth. You maybe never had a great example of a great father on this earth. But our Heavenly Father, He loves you unconditionally. He loves you regardless of where you're at. He may get mad sometimes because you're not following His way. If you're reading the Old Testament, He got mad at His children a lot of times. But He always came back and loved and cared for them when they cried out to Him. And that's the one thing about Israel that as I'm reading through the Old Testament, I'm realizing more and more, as they seeked after God, as they sought after Him, as they prayed to Him, as they offered and said, we are a sinful nation, we need to change, we need to go the right way, what did God do? Did He just say no? What did God do? He actually loved and cared for them and helped them through this time. And so we're going to sing this one more time, and I just want to encourage you just to close your eyes. Don't worry about the words if you don't have them memorized. Just give it to Him and say, you are a good Father. I trust in you. I rely on you. Those are all the things you're saying when you're saying that. I'm giving you everything within my life, Lord God.
It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are.
Father, as we dig into your word this morning, I'd ask that you would reveal this topic of loneliness, Lord God, in a new way, in a refreshing way. And Lord God, again, this song just imparts so much towards this topic too, that it is you we trust. It is you we rely on. And so, Lord God, we honor you this morning in your name. You may be seated. In Psalms 23, it says this, and this came to mind, this isn't part of my sermon, I just believe it's for us this morning. And it says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me to the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley in the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Verse 5. "They prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And I believe that was for us this morning. As we seek and as we move towards, I want to use the word, a healthier lifestyle within our Lord Jesus, that we can trust. He is our shepherd. He is our guide. And so it's okay to call out to him. It's okay to be sad. And it's okay to have maybe a frustration time. It's okay to have disagreements with your loved ones. It's okay to discipline your children. It's okay to love those in and around you. It is good. It is well with my soul. I love that hymn. And as we strive and as we get closer to the Lord and all the things, and I believe that these topics, the hot topics that Pastor Carolyn has really chosen well, because I think somewhere along the way, maybe we don't, you know, not everybody struggles with every one of these different hot topics, but everybody somewheres, someone does. And so it's important that we, as we grow and as we have a new life and as we see things in new light, that we are constantly wanting to change and constantly wanting to dive in. And we know we're in a battle, right? But as I was listening to my chair setup music, one of the key things in one of the words was that W means win. The battle's won. We're not in a battle that is losing. We're in a battle that is won. It's over. You know, we know the Boston Bruins are going to the playoffs. We know for some in this congregation, he's hoping for a W. But some may be a Blues fan, which I'm not sure if there is, but that's okay too. But you got the Blues. But at the end of it all, we have the W. We have the W. The W means we've won. So let's dive into this morning with open eyes and open ears and an open heart, understanding you've won. God's won the battle. So I'm going to talk this morning a little bit about loneliness. And I, you know, as I was preparing this last few weeks, and as I was just thinking about it, going, Lord, I need tons of scripture, because that will be helpful, because I don't want to talk about myself. And so there's no scriptures that really came to my mind, because the Lord said, I need to talk about yourself. Because I think through personal experiences, we can help each other. So I'm going to share with you a story. It's not really a story, it's my life. And it's about a circumstance that when I was younger, before I met Carolyn, so disclaimer here, before I met Pastor Carolyn, I lived in Victoria. I'm not going to go beyond that, but I lived in Victoria and I just knew my time was done there. Now, one of the things about me is I had great parents. I will not lie to anybody. I had good parents. I have no problems. My mom made me lunch, even though I was working. So, you know, I had a lunch bag every day. And she would get mad if I didn't eat it. Sometimes I double lunched it. Because, you know, you'd eat out and have pizza, and then you would eat the lunch because you'd feel bad if you threw it out. Because when my mom did find out we were doing that, we got spanked. So that was important for us not to throw out. So I was loved by my mom. I kept a clean room. She kept my beds always made. I came home to a made bed every day. I was a spoiled brat, really, in some ways. I think about it. Now, this is being recorded. Hopefully, my brothers don't hear it because they'll agree with it. So you see, there was a lot of love that my parents did show me through the time. There was also a lot of time when my parents just really abundantly loved me. And I just so thankful. That's why that song means a lot to me, Good Father, because I had a good father. He cared for me, provided for me. I never had to worry about dinner, never had to worry about lunch, never had to worry about breakfast. Like, there's a lot of people who did growing up in times. A lot of people didn't know what was going to come along. We had good meals. I love going back and eating. It's always good. Came to a point in my life where it was like, okay, I need to move. I just didn't want to be on the island anymore. If you're from the island, I apologize, but to me, there was a thing on the island, a stigma, and I just didn't want to be a part of it anymore. It's like a world in its own. It's like we're in Victoria, and then there's Canada. And I just didn't want to be a part of that. I didn't like that. It was isolated. So I decided a pastor from Calgary, who was originally my pastor in Victoria, said, why don't you come out and help us with the children's program? I said, sure. And I love this guy, and I was so excited. He said, you'll stay with us. You'll be in my house with my kids and stuff. I was so excited. I was so pumped. Now remember, my mom took care of me. I had to leave my mom's house, and the first thing I remember is there's no more lunch bags, right? I had to do my own laundry. Whoa. I had to make my own bed. Like, it was overnight change. Overnight change, because I drove to Calgary with everything in my little Honda Civic. And, I mean, that thing, I couldn't see out the passenger side window. How many have done that? Filled their car up, and it's like, this is so illegal. But we did it anyways. You only had one little mirror to see out of the right side, and hopefully when you change lanes, it's like, But when I got to Calgary, the person I was supposed to stay with said, no, you're staying with someone else. That was traumatic for me. I was so looking forward. First of all, I'm leaving my parents. Then I'm staying with someone who, I love the people, don't get me wrong, but I was not prepared to stay with them. There's a difference, right? And so I pull into Calgary. I phone the people I'm staying with, and they're like, oh, no, you're going to stay over at this other place. I'm not naming names. I don't want to name names. So you're going to stay at the other place. At that moment, I felt alone. I felt disjointed with everything around me. I didn't have a mom to call, you know, go home and, you know, complain to or whatever. I didn't have a dad to do that. And I had to go to these people's houses. I was not prepared for this. And I remember, and they're laying in the bed for a few nights. And actually, believe it or not, I did cry because I missed my mom and I missed my dad. Thank you. I'm trying not to cry right now for some reason, but I missed them because they filled that little hole or spot in my life that I didn't have to feel lonely or have a loneliness in my life. Now, what choices did I make? Did I make choices to isolate myself? Did I make choices to allow the loneliness to take control of my life? Not really. I stepped into the church. I got involved. I got busy. But it was, I think, as I was preparing this, thinking of that one incident, because loneliness, I think, can be the root to all the other things that, Carolyn, you've been talking about over the last few weeks. I really do. Because we can make a choice. We can either live in that loneliness or step outside of that box. We'll talk a little bit about that in a second. But I wanted to share with you from the Wikipedia, and I was reading through this, and I thought it was a real good kind of explanation about loneliness. And it said this: loneliness is a complex and unusual, unpleasant emotional response to isolation. Loneliness typically includes anxious feelings about a lack of connection or communication with other beings, both in the present and extending into the future. Also, such loneliness can be felt even when surrounded by others or other people. The cause of loneliness are varied and include social, mental, emotional, and physical factors. Research has shown that loneliness is prevalent throughout society including people in marriages, relationships, families, veterans, and those with successful careers. It has been a long explored theme in the literature of human beings since classic antiquity. I might not be right that I just said. Loneliness has also been described as social pain, a psychological mechanism meant to motivate an individual to seek social connection. Loneliness is often defined in terms of one's connectedness to others, or more specifically as the unpleasant experience that occurs when a person's network of social relations is deficient in some important way. That's a lot. And as I was kind of reading through that, I saw myself in a lot of those different categories. But I also know and believe that we can put ourselves in that position. So a question that was asked of me just a few days ago is there a difference between being alone and loneliness? There is a little bit. When you're alone, you're just by yourself, right? But loneliness, I think, goes a little deeper. You start letting the emotions take control. You start letting the mind take control. And one of the things I've learned over the years is that the mind and emotions, I'm quoting Tom Brooks right now, the mind and emotions only know what they know. They don't teach themselves anything. So your mind only knows how to respond because of what has been taught. Your emotions only know how to be emotion because of how it's been taught. So the past plays into our future. So if we are in that situation or in that specific spot where we're going, oh man, I'm alone. This is, and there's nobody around and I'm feeling isolated. What should I do? Well, what does your mind start to do? Well, when I was younger, this is what I would do or whatever. We need to teach your mind. I remember an old saying, and I come back to it, I think I've said it here before, but garbage in, garbage out. So why don't we put the Word of God into our mind so that way when we go through tough times or hard times or loneliness or depression or anything that kind of comes in that category, if we have the Word of God in our mind, that's health, right? Do we agree? The Bible is health. So if we have health in our mind, how then can our mind do anything different but be healthy? Easy said, not easy done. We're humans. Sometimes it's easier to just go home, shut the door. I'm not going to let anyone in. Because what comes with letting people into your life? What's the big word? Risk. Another big word is responsibility, accountability, trust. You have to trust when you share with somebody something that's personal about your life that they're going to love on you regardless. All those things play factors in. And so for me, one of the things about loneliness is that I go back to that night or those few nights going, what do I do? Where do I go? I can't go back home. I've made a decision. Plus, my dad said, once you're out, you're out. That was the rule. You can't come back. Oh, I'm not. But that was my dad's, you know, and it was a good thing because it really taught me to put my feet down and strive forward and really work. So I'm not bitter about it or angry. I do miss my mom's pies and cakes and stuff. But it came to a point where it was like, okay, now I know that I have to strive into God. Does that make me perfect? No. Does that make me? No. I still struggle with those things today because being human, that's in our nature. I also want to fix everything. That's kind of in my MO is if there's a problem, I want to fix it. So if there's a problem in my life, I want to fix it. And I don't go after the Lord. I don't ask for his help because I can fix it because, you know, I'm a fix it type of person. But more and more I'm realizing that I can't fix it. Only God can fix it. But what do I have to do? I need to put his word in my mind. I need to put him into my life. And here's an interesting thing in Genesis 2. So way back at the beginning, when God created man, he created this earth, he created something else that I want to share with you too. So it's Genesis chapter 2. And sorry, I don't have PowerPoints this morning, so you may have to get your Bible out or your Bible on your phone if you want to read along. And it says this: "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.' Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals, all the birds in the sky. He brought them to man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found." So even, I'll just stop right there, but even at that time, the Lord was noticing, hey, this guy needs somebody. Way back at the beginning. Let's carry on now. 21. "So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he had taken out of the man and brought her to the man. The man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she has taken out of man.' That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife and become one flesh." One of the things in there, I mean, obviously that's for married people as well, but one of the key components is there is God created, knew that Adam needed a relationship, physical one. I've always been told as a teenager and as I was growing up that all you need is God. Don't worry about everything else. You don't need anybody else. Just, you know, you don't need the physical presence of anyone, basically. Just get in your Bible, shut everybody else out. Now, God, I believe with all my heart, will fill a void. But I see here in Scripture where God was very clear to say we need relationship. We need physical, tangible relationship. So when we isolate ourselves from people in and around us, what can creep in? Loneliness. I mean, if no one's around you, how do you know people care for you? When that starts to happen, what happens? Well, you kind of get depressed. Then you start judging, because I think that all comes and plays a factor. Well, they don't love me. They don't care for me. All those things start to play into the factor. So God, even in way back at the beginning of time, made sure, I think, and teach us a very important thing is we are people who need relationships. Now with that, God needs to be in our heart. He needs to be in our life. We need to fill it. We need time for him as well. Spending time in his word gets our mind trained, or not necessarily, I guess trained isn't the right word, but filled with his scripture. So that way when we're going through those tough times, scripture pops up in our minds. I've always said, how can we have anything pop in our minds if we haven't read it? And so it's important to get that in. So it's all about relationships. And as we push ourselves away from people, loneliness can creep in. The other thing is that today in our society, now I do look at a lot of people, I do know lots of you, so social media isn't like creme a la creme, like the best thing. Some of you don't even do social media, really. But Gen Zers, which are the new generation coming up, that is their society. We need to know how that society works so we can love on those young people. Because what they're doing is they're isolating themselves into the room. And honestly, Facebook and Messenger and Instagram. There's so many little ones out there. But those are their lives. And so what happens with the Gen Zers is depression or loneliness right now is a high on their list. Like they're the ones really being impacted on this, because if they don't feel socially acceptable, they start just destroying themselves internally. And I was thinking about that too and going, it's not really any different in our age bracket who maybe don't have a lot of social media. Back in the day when you weren't hanging out with friends and having people around you, what did you do? I'm not good enough. They don't want to hang out with me. So why would I go hang out with them? And so I think social pressures play a huge factor in loneliness. But as we seek after the Lord, I think he puts people in our place. We pray, God, please put people in our place of friendships. And so that helps build a relationship, not only with others, but with God. And as we do that, I think our relationship will start to grow. And so if that's you this morning, and you're feeling just that loneliness, I mean, you could be in this room and feel lonely right now. Because maybe you've isolated yourself, or, you know, as I was reading through just different stories, and I thought about this because I can't relate, because I got a wonderful wife who we love and we talk and all those things, but if you have a husband or wife that leaves you and they're no longer there, and that was your partner and that was the person, but you didn't have a circle of friends around you, how destroyed you could be. And so for you this morning, I believe God is saying, I want to fill that void. Allow me to fill that void. Trust that I will bring someone into your life that will fill that void, help you. Doesn't necessarily have to be a mate. It could just be a friend. But I believe God wants that from us. I mean, back in Genesis, way back in chapter 2, he's already talked about relationships and how we need to be in them. This morning, can I encourage you not to withdraw from people and around you? If they're not healthy, we know what a healthy relationship is and a non-healthy relationship is. Is drive or steer yourself towards healthy relationships. You step out, not just be the one waiting. Because as you step out, maybe that person was the one that needed the help too. And then all of a sudden, more and more comes along with that. Matthew 7:7, and it says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Would you open your door this morning to allow God just to move in a mighty way? Would you also allow God to bring someone in your life that can help you with that void or bring that void into fullness? Again, this morning, when I was in that room, sad because I was without my mom and dad and without family, without friends, there was a choice I had to make. I could have stayed there. I could have just went to work and went home and stayed home and not get involved. But one of the things was I got involved. I not only got involved with the kids, I got involved with the worship. I got involved. I had to step out. And that's the hard part. Because we always think that maybe it should come to me first. But really, we need to step out. With that, let's build relationships with our neighbors, showing Christ's love for them. Let's step out and build relationship with those in and around us, not just the people in this room. Let's be the influencers, not the influenced. That to me is really what we're all here for. This morning, we build one another up. We encourage one another being together. We worship the Lord in a mighty way. It was so awesome. And now we go from here. We're going to be talking with people who maybe haven't been to church. Our neighbors that maybe drive us nuts because they park too many cars and happen to be in front of my yard. Maybe this time we need to reach out and share in love of Christ. Again, it's all about relationship. So we're going to continue our relationship with a closing song. So I'm just going to invite the worship team to come forward. If that's you this morning and you just feel, oh, that's so cute. If that's you this morning and you feel the Lord just tugging on your heart to say, I want to move, I want to put someone in your life, I don't want you to be lonely. If that's you, would you just pray? We're going to bow our heads and pray. Would you just agree with me in this prayer? Father, we just come before you this morning. We know through you all things are made good. And Lord, I ask that you would just fill that void in my heart. It says in Scripture that you stand at the door knocking. I am going to open my door up to you. I pray, Lord God, that you would come in and we'd have coffee together and we'd share together. But Lord, I also pray for relationships that are physical, Lord God, that you would open the door there as well. Allow me not to become so lonely and so away from people that, Lord God, we know that in Scripture it says that you're all about relationships. And so, Lord God, I pray for those relationships in Jesus' name. Again this morning, if that was you and you just want more prayer, we're here to pray with you. We're here to share with you. The other thing is that I do want to give this opportunity. I know most of you in this room, but I just want to give this opportunity. So I'm just going to ask again for the heads to be bowed and eyes closed. And if this is your first time, or maybe it's your third time, but you want to receive Christ into your life, for the first time, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hands, and I'm going to pray with you. If there's anyone here this morning, just go ahead and raise your hand. I'll pray with you if that's you.